I fucked up and I'm pretty embarrassed. And this cool. is my this is my confessional.
Okay.
I remember how excited I was for the weekender I was planning?
Yeah.
For the dance, dancing on the beach. So Above and Beyond put on their group therapy weekender occasionally at the Gorge Amphitheater. And it's my favorite event of all time. And I was really looking forward to it to happen this year because based on the schedule that they had originally talked about or had talked about many times before, it was supposed to happen this year and they did not announce one. They made other plans and I was bummed. And so was Cameron and Carl and a few other people. And so Cameron and I, especially since Cameron's a DJ now and likes to do big long sets and all this stuff, we're like, well, we'll just throw our own. We'll just do our own little party and call it a weekender and have fun.
With blackjack and hookers.
That's
a Simpsons reference.
Okay.
Actually, no, it's probably a Futurama reference, actually.
I am aware of it. Did not really watch it.
As you were.
Yeah, so our plans evolved into playing a two-day camping, you know, festival thing at the Oregon coast, at a beach called Rockaway Beach, and we'd kind of come set up like a canopy kind of situation, have the DJ booth under there with some speakers that we bought, and just play the music out towards the ocean and dance on the sand, and whoever wants to come can come, and it would just be for us, but you know, it's open to all, and that was just gonna be fun. And in the end, you know, spoilers, that did happen and it was fantastic, but almost every step leading up to that point was a disaster.
Oh no.
I'm pretty embarrassed. I made a mistake kind of kept making the mistake a little bit for a while. And then, yeah. So, not my fault. Also not anybody else's fault. It just happened that, Carl's dad came into town to help him move, and I he had set up a dinner for his dad to meet his friends and for us to all interact and have a nice meal together. And that was on the day I was planning to go early to Rockaway Beach to scope out the place, check the tides, do, you know, like find a good camping spot, get all situated. And I skipped that because I would rather be with, you know, people visiting and have a nice interaction. And that was great. That was great. I don't regret it. But it does mean that I didn't do that extra pre-work on the actual location. And then so the next day, Saturday, when I actually did go out there, from the get-go, I felt behind because I was not there the day before. And I was kind of like running around trying to get everything prepared and get all packed up and everything. But I was also waiting on some other people to get things that I needed. And so I was delayed from that. So I was feeling even more behind. And then even with all the delays and extra time that I had to prepare and pack, I forgot so many things. It is crazy how many things I forgot. So I forgot my hat, which is just super important on the beach in the middle of the summer. And so that one I actually did turn around. I drove off, realized not too far away that I'd forgot my hat. So I turned back and came and got that. But I also forgot my rave outfit, which is silly. Not the worst thing to have forgotten, because you can still dance in whatever clothes. And I look fucking ridiculous in my rave outfit, which is the point, but also, like, we'll get to we'll get to that. Sorry, I'm laughing at what I'm going to tell you in the future.
Ruh-roh.
it's also silly. I forgot sheets, blanket, pillow for the bed, so I was going to be freezing. I forgot more stuff that was important, and I can't remember now. But I did remember. I mean, I remember the speaker. I remembered a few other things that were very important. Anyway, so I got. So we get to rock. I get to rock away. And I'm excited to go set up. So one of the things that I was excited to do was build a temporary structure, just four posts connected by four beams. About a 10-foot cube that I then had a shade screen on the top of that I pulled tight, and then I would have hammocks hanging from the different posts, so I could have hammocks on the beach and just be floating above the sand and the water as it's splashing up, and amazing. And I built that. And it was incredible. It was for 20 minutes. It was fucking glorious. But see, the thing is, and I checked the tide tables beforehand. I did my research. I understand that tides go in and out, and I checked at what time high tide was and low tide, and I thought I was prepared. Well, I also got distracted and I get forgetful and I didn't double check it. And I had switched in my head the time that I thought was high tide for low tide and vice versa. And so when I got there, I was like, oh, perfect. We're already at high tide. And, I can set up and it'll go out and it'll come back to here and great. But I was setting up at low tide, right by the water. And I was like, it was like right before, it was like 30 minutes before the peak of low tide, the bottom of low tide. And so
the ebb?
Yeah, it was just slightly receding from me as I was setting up. And I was like, oh, perfect. It's already moving away. Like, I'm right on time. And then it started to come back in. I was like, oh. And I was sitting on the hammock and I was like, this is fucking incredible. Why doesn't everybody do this? All the, oh no. And the water came in. It was a big splat. Oh, and before we get to that part, which was a disaster, The location that I had picked on Rockaway Beach is by this jetty, which is like this big pile of rocks that sticks out into the water. And I think it's for like, there's a lighthouse at the end of this jetty. And the lighthouse also has a siren that goes off every 10 seconds.
Every 10 seconds?
Well, yeah, 10 to 15 seconds. Yeah, it's like, yeah. it's not horrible. It's kind of like, I think it's an A note, and it's just, 1 second of loud horn for a bit. So I get there and I'm hearing that, and I'm like, I'm remembering that was there, that I had forgotten that was there. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. I had to pick for my little music festival. I had to pick the spot where there's a noise going on constantly. There's no stopping it. It, you know, with the music going, you're in the zone. You can't really hear it. It's not really, but it's just kind of funny. But yeah, so then I set up that structure and, and then I set up my canopy with the DJ booth and the speakers right next to that structure. And as the tide is coming in, Cameron and I realize like, oh shit, we need to move quickly. And so we move the canopy, the DJ setup, the speakers, back like 50 feet or whatever away from the structure. But we kept the structure there because we're thinking like, oh, it'll still be fun to like be in the hammocks above the water. And like, that's going to be awesome. And it was awesome for a moment. And then we realized, oh, we did not go back far enough. The water is still coming and we need to really move. And so we moved way further back. And then I'm thinking like, okay, well, now we can't even hear the music from where we set up the set up the hammocks. And
but you can still hear the siren, I bet.
I can still hear, we can definitely still hear the siren. Yeah. So the water's coming in and we finally get set up in our permanent place that we feel very secure about because the sand is a different quality. It's just dry sand and no.
Sorry, I can't yeah. I can't let this go because in my head it just wants to get this right. I think that's the A. I think that's an
yes.
A. There you go.
That's
just because it was on my mind. I think that's
we should
an
just A. Clip that and we can play that at the beat at the at the lighthouse. So yeah, Cameron and I are looking down at our structure that I built, and we even asked, or I think Cameron asked me, he's like, should we wait for like high tide to go back out again so we can more easily get to it, or should we tear it down now? And I'm looking over at like, we got to tear it down now. Like it's going to get like flooded. I mean, it was already up like pretty consistently about 8 inches standing in water. So we get out there and I'm getting ready to, I've got my ladder out there, my 6 foot ladder that I'm standing on as I'm trying to like get to the top and undo the bolts that I put in. And the sand, the 2 foot holes that I dug for the posts, where the larger hole that I had then refilled in with sand and compacted down and stomped down and everything, the hole that I dig, the bigger hole, just filled up with water, and all that new compacted sand didn't compact at all. It was just con. And so the structure had no more support anymore. So like I'm telling Cameron, like, okay, take off the hammocks quickly. I'll get the shade and then we'll get those out of the way and then we'll deal with the structure part. And by the time we did all that, like the structure, we could just drag it. We just pulled it down and we're just dragging it away from the water. I didn't even disassemble it because I couldn't stand on the waves of water were hitting the ladder and it was toppling over. And it was pretty insane. So we drug that back up to our new spot, and then I chopped it up with my electric saw, and we burned it in effigy on our bonfire, which was great.
Ashes to ashes.
Yeah. Let's see. And then what else? So, okay. So our plan had been to camp on the beach, camp on the sand, which is something you can totally do here in Oregon. It's illegal. But where we entered the beach was actually through a state campground or county campground or whatever, government campground. And they allow, so we paid for parking, and the parking said it was good until 10 p.m. I was like, oh. So I went to the ranger's office and asked, like, hey, so what goes on after 10 p.m.? Can I pay for overnight parking? Like, what's going on? And they're like, no, there's just no parking out there. And after 10, you can't park there. It's not allowed. And I was like, okay, well, can I park in the campground or what? There's like, and she said, no, the campground is full. We can't accept any more. We can't allow you to park. You can't be here after 10 p.m. You have to leave. Like, there's nobody there. It's just a car parked. It's not hurting anybody. I have money here. Take my money. Yeah. Let me just be here. And like, nope, we can't do it. They will take it. You. I was like, okay, well, there's the cost of parking. I guess I could have done that, but didn't really want to deal with that. And then
if you're rich enough, a fine. What's they say? If you're rich enough, a fine is just a fee. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I'm not that rich.
No.
So that dismayed us because we had two vehicles and trying to. We hadn't even set up a camp yet because we were so doing so much to reposition where the stage was supposed to be, all panicked from that and kind of, you know, adrenalized and everything. And so we're like, maybe we'll just call it. We'll just do a one night thing instead of a 2 day thing. And we'll pack up. And so we decided to do that. And you know, it was anticlimactic. Anyways, so we had the stage set up. We were finally finalized. You know, we had the bonfire going. Cameron's playing these incredible sets of Nils Hoffman, Andrew Bayer, Above and Beyond, and Knox Vaughn, and it was just fantastic. The looking out on the water. And the sand and the people walking by and the kites and all that while dancing to this awesome music on the beach. It was incredible. And I brought my rake. And so I busted out my rake in front of the speakers area. I just like combed away all of the seaweed and stuff that had come up, the shells and everything, and cleared out this area in front of the, you know, as the stage. And it was, you know, it was both practical, but also a little bit of like a meditation, you know, kind of a, you know, the Japanese, sand combing or whatever. I was kind of like trying to channel that into what I was doing. And so I was just like this fucking weird dude on the beach, just combing the beach in front of, a DJ, like, this DJ booth that looks kind of pro. Like we set it up in a way that looked like really legit, and like people would walk up and they're like, what's going on?
Is this a thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Is this a thing? And I'm like, yeah, we're just dancing. We're just having fun. And some people stuck around and danced with us, and we handed out, some bracelets, and people like helped stoke the bonfire, and It was good. It was fun, but messing up the tides really messed up the plan. Well, you know, there's a bunch. You know, the camping didn't work. The tides didn't work. We lost some electronics that got wet in the sand in the water when it came and surged on us and splashed up. And so it was a big fiasco. It was an adventure. I got some great photos out of it because the structure with the hammocks on it, like with the wave just like right coming up to just the tip of the structure, it was like, oh, beautiful. And Cameron and I were just like so thrilled. We were having so much fun, minus the times we were like extremely panicked. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Oh, wow. What an experience. Yeah.
What an experience. So.
Will you give it another go?
Yeah, we talked a lot about what we'd do differently what we will do differently next time. And would definitely, yeah, we're absolutely going to do more gatherings, and even we do it on the beach again. And we're way more informed on how we would do that and what we would do differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you deal with the parking situation? Or is it just that they insisted that it was full and that's why you couldn't park?
Yeah. So we could either, reserve a camping spot at that place and either use it for our tents or not. But then we can park some cars there. Which would definitely be an easy path to do and not that expensive. Or we could go away from this campground area and more towards the city where there is, street parking near public access to the beach, and just do that. I thought it was going to be great to park on the jetty because there was so much parking out there and there seemed like no reason why we couldn't park overnight. And I didn't foresee that they would have to kick us out at that time. So, and I had called beforehand and told them my plan and didn't get any pushback on the idea. So I was expecting all green lights until I got there and they were like, nope.
Red lights.
Mm. So yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Fun while it lasted.
Fun while it lasted.
Much like your shape in the sand.
Yeah.
Until it's washed away by the tide.
Oh yeah, so what I was laughing at a lot earlier is my rave outfit, my new rave outfit is a taco suit and a sombrero. And my mom used to have a taco truck and she bought these costumes, I think, for people to kind of like be out on the street and be like, hey, there's a taco truck over here, come have a taco. And then we were cleaning out her storage container and we found these taco suits and I just put it on because I thought it'd be funny. And it was just kind of, it was funny. And so I was like, yeah, this will be my new rave outfit because it'll be silly and fun. But then the idea of a 40-year-old dude in a taco outfit and a sombrero raking the beach in front of a DJ, like, that's just too many hats on the hats. it was just too much. So I'm kind of glad I didn't embarrass myself that much.
I've just looked up what you might have looked like and it's absolutely delightful to me.
Yeah.
Wow, that would have been incredible.
Yeah. Next time. Oh.
Next time. Wow.
Yeah, man. So, that was my weekend.
That was your weekend.
How are you doing? What's up with you?
Today was the most intense conversation I've ever had with another human being.
Whoa.
I spoke the unspeakable to my therapist.
Amazing.
And, yeah. Good grief.
Good grief.
Good grief. Good gravy. It was, the feeling of panic? Was it panic?
Sure.
Definitely fear. I think I probably know what a panic attack looks like now.
Okay. Did you feel like you went through that as you were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to throw up afterwards and couldn't get anything out. Yeah.
You feeling okay now?
Yeah. I'm very, very tired.
Yeah.
Partly a contributing factor being that I went to go see a friend, because we'd had this in the diary, and I wasn't planning on having that particular session today. I was going to go and see him about being a bit morose, and so yeah, no, we spoke the unspeakable.
How did it things, come up? Did he prompt it?
It was related to stuff from the previous week. It was related to stuff that may or may not have made the edit of the last episode, depending on how I feel. Probably hasn't. Stuff that I would never and probably will never again speak to another human being about and say out loud. And I didn't get called a monster.
Of course.
I didn't get told to leave immediately and never come back.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I got told someone I know had this thing that is very related to your thing. And is a professional therapist. And worked through it, you know. There will be some unpacking to do.
Yeah, man.
But I was describing the sensation to my friend who I was having lunch with, and it was a part of me that's like, I want to do that again. Like a roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was weird. It's like I wasn't like adrenalized after it.
Sure.
But you know, it was a hell of a ride. And what was interesting is as I'm riding this wave, he's like, there's a moment where I'm properly like, I'm sort of kind of balled up, and I grab one of the cushions and I'm like, you know, just sort of gripping the cushion, and he's like, you know, I want you to look at me, and sort of stay here, stay in the room. You know, he was sort of talking to me about how big a brave boy I was. And it felt like being pulled through a vortex. It was like his hand was there, was outstretched. I was very grateful afterwards.
That's amazing.
And I'm like proud of myself for speaking aloud the thing that should never be said.
That's awesome, man. I relate really hard to the wanting to go again part talking about something that that feels really shameful or you know, something you've kept hidden. The times that I've done that also have felt like, oh dang, what else can I get off my chest? Else can I get out of here? Because like, wow, that's
well, this one felt like, it's like there are levels, like there are some, and you know, I went to him with a thing from last week of like, this is a thing that happened and I've carried this shame with me, and you know, he's very good at sort of picking that apart and saying, well, no, actually I think this person treated you unfairly and this is a thing that happens and whatever. And so there's that, and I remember bringing a trickier one to him, which I thought was a biggie, and that, you know, that was very fair, and there's been a couple of those, but this was the one that felt like I had I had absolutely no intention of having that conversation with him today.
Sure.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I think my body knew, because I was walking to the library this morning where I was going to do like 45 minutes of work before seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in some gastrointestinal momentary distress.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I haven't felt this in a long time. And I know it's not what I've eaten because I haven't eaten since... I haven't eaten for over, whatever it was, 14 hours.
Sure.
And it was, you know, sort of, whew, yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. I wonder if the body knew what was happening before the brain did. Honestly, on this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think there's a reason that things happened the way they did. But this felt like... Well, this is the one I'm always going to have to carry because I'm never going to be able to say this to anyone. Like, you can't say that. You can't. There's no society where you can really say this thing. And you know, just for the purpose of the tape, I'm not talking about anything illegal or where anyone was harmed or anything. It's just a disturbing moment between me and my brain.
Oh, I want to hold you and hug you so bad, man.
Thank you. But yeah, like this was the one that was like, well, I mean, I'll always carry this one with me. So to have that out and let's see what happens.
Maybe with it being out and over time, it will lessen because it's already out there. You were not called a monster or chased out of the room with torches and pitchforks.
No.
You're just fine. Other people do it too. You're normal, actually.
There's a caveat there, but you know, I can say that without shame. It's okay. There's no caveat. It's not normal.
You're just a human.
But it's also okay. It's okay. So
what is normal?
What is normal anyway? It was really interesting. Like, I think I've developed this sort of like splurging technique, and part of it I feel like may have been something we've done on the podcast, or I've done with you over the podcast. Is just like, I just need to like shit the words out.
Yeah.
Just like, and then we'll just deal with it. It's like, and then we can, and it's just like, and then sort of they're out, and you know, his reaction was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then it's actually when like all the fit, like it was a birthing process to a degree to actually say the thing out loud.
Yeah.
But then the actual like
the feelings,
all the fit, all the adrenaline, all the you know, the body wanting to like implode, kind of collapsing on itself.
Yeah.
And him being like, no, stay with me.
That's awesome. That he was there for you and that you felt safe to explore that with him.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
And I said, listen, just so that it's said, because it's in my brain, can I come back next week?
Oh, dude.
It's like, I kind of knew, but I wanted to kind of say it, you know, have it said explicitly. And he was like, I don't know. He said, well, I know we've had a couple of breaks recently, so I'm really glad that we've got a clear run for a couple of weeks. I'm like, fucking hell, so am I. Oh,
brother, you are not a monster.
Maybe not.
Internally,
yeah, maybe not.
We all have that shit.
Yeah.
In our brains, it's really normal to be really fucked up. There's a lot of things that we all don't say. We have no idea what other people are thinking.
No, we really don't.
And the people that have been brave enough, like you were just now, to say those things out loud, hear commiseration that you're not alone, because you're not alone, because we all have those crazy thoughts and feelings. And
it was one of those where it was like, I knew this wasn't going to be one of the ones where people say, we all feel like, I knew it wasn't one of those, because I've had those where it's like, actually, if you say the thing, and kind of what I spoke to him about last week was kind of one of those. It's like, yeah, that's kind of natural. This one was different, but it was not met with, you know, horror.
Sure.
Anything, he was almost like, yeah, I thought that might be where we were going.
he kind of saw it.
Yeah, like it's it's another lovely moment actually where I'd sort of said similar to what I'd said to you. It's like, because I don't think I wasn't ready to say it yet. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, listen, you know, this is not anyone, you know, I haven't had thoughts or fantasies about harming myself or anyone or doing anything, you know, to someone that doesn't want anything done to them or anything like that. And he was like,
yeah,
something along the lines of, I wouldn't be frightened if you did, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's also normal too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I and in some respects I can sort of be more understanding of that. It's just this particular one I had put such a marker on, you know, like tag on it of like,
yeah,
this one, my dude, this one's beyond the this one's
it's beyond the pale, only because you've made it up to, yeah, only yeah, because you've given it so much power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 years. Well, 25 years probably.
Yeah.
Of being scared by it. So yeah.
Man. Well, I'm so glad you gave it a little bit of daylight. I hope that it will.
Oh no, like there's no reason it needs to be like this doesn't need to be given more daylight, like, you know what I mean, like
I don't know.
That we don't say all the things that are in our head, even in safe spaces.
Yeah. I'm not saying like share it far and wide. I'm saying I'm saying acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah.
And even on your own, like journaling about it or whatever, like whatever you want to do, but like lessening its power by making it more normal and more
and that's
exposed.
Where it started last week with talking myself through it. Mm-hmm. But there's only so much, you know, I think you and I both get this, and I've said it before, like we're too smart to fall for our own dumb tricks.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need someone else who is then conversely going to go, you're a bit more basic than you actually realize. But you know, you get yourself tied in knots, and or you know, one gets oneself tied in knots, and one thinks, you know, again, like through shame and all the rest of it, that we are these, you know, unique experiences, and nothing, you know, no one's ever had. Anyway. So,
that's awesome,
who knows? Let's see what the future holds, eh?
Yeah.
But after that, I then had 40 minutes ish to make my way across town. That's by Birmingham standards, which is like 20 minutes walk. It's not by Portland standards.
Yeah.
So had a walk and I was getting route guidance, so I put my headphones on because I didn't want to listen to a podcast, because I didn't want to. I knew I was going to have to sort of put these feelings in a little box, and then later on I could open the box back up again.
Yeah.
But what I didn't want to do is kind of immediately like stuff it away with words with a podcast. So I ended up listening to an old album that I like.
Nice.
And walked up and met my friend and managed one of the, I mean, she and I got on great. Like we've never met before. No, from the internet. She's great fun. We had a really good chat. She's one of those people. There's a few people, and it seems to be internet based, that there are certain people that we tend to go quite deep.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, both of us sort of feel safe to do so, kind of thing. And that was really cool. And so we were having a good chat. And we got some lunch. And it was the most awkward lunch order I've ever put in my... like, because a little bit I'm still, like, trying to figure out how to be a person for a bit.
Sure.
And put myself back together again.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think the woman that we were working with was kind of being a bit of a difficult sausage.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, had her own sort of awkwardness, or not awkward, just like she was not good. She was not good at this interaction either. and it's like one of those things where, like, I just sort of used a colloquialism,
sure,
and it then became a whole thing. Like, I said, like, I was ordering for the two of us, and I was like, can we order some food for table number 7? Yeah, great. I'll start off with some nachos. Can we have them without the cheese? Whatever. And she was like, start off with some what? Oh, I just, you know, starting off with some nachos. Do you want them as a starter? What? Do you want me to bring those first out? Because we don't really do starters. I sort of just meant like I was beginning yeah, the order. Like, this, yeah, is the first thing. Like, I get it. It's not what you normally say, but like, let's not keep, we don't keep having to like hang a lantern on this. It's just like, yeah, okay, yes, fine. So just get some nachos. and so my friend was like, they needed to, can we do it without the cheese? Which I thought would be, I mean, that seems fine. I mean, it's,
yeah,
you know, it's not, I don't love that, but like, that's fine because you've still got sour cream, you've still got whatever, guacamole, yeah, and stuff. But that was a problem. Like, apparently they had to have some form of cheese. And so, yeah, yeah.
We cannot not give you cheese.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So they could give me vegan cheese. And so I went to my friend and I was like, is vegan cheese okay? And she's like, well, she's not vegan, so it basically turned out, and it's like all of this is just like, it basically turned out that it was fine, so she could have the cheese.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I am not calling my friend out, by the way, this is not on her.
Sure.
No, it's a little bit on her, just because like it got continued to just get a little bit weird, just because none of us could seem to use the right words for things. Like, yeah, each one of us has a piece of this where we fucked it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And so the next one, which I'll be honest, I should have clocked as well, but again, wasn't in fully operational mode.
Of course.
My friend orders a vegan, vegan Benedict bagel.
Okay.
So Benedict meaning, and I hadn't made the connection yet, but I knew, I was like, Benedict. Oh yeah, like Eggs Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
So she as you would say, she has me order a vegan Benedict bagel. So I say that, and that gets sort of rung up on the thing, and that seems to be okay.
Okay.
And then I get my club sandwich, and that one's fine. So my club sandwich is fine. Normal order. Do you do pots of tea? No, we don't do pots of tea. Can I have... Okay, that's fine. All right. And the Diet Pepsi. Okay. And then that all is fine. And then I sit back down and we're chatting away. And then the cook comes out from the kitchen, speaks to my friend to be like, you ordered a vegan Benedict, but... An Eggs Benedict is eggs. So, what do you want?
What do you want?
And my friend's a bit confused, and then she realizes, because she was like, "Well, there was a V on the menu because it's got like veggie sausage," and she, you know, she didn't want the bacon, so she looked at the thing. Oh no, it's just V for vegetarian. Okay, just vegetarian, right. Then not vegan. So yeah, normal Eggs Benedict, but just not with meat.
With
so
no it's bacon.
Just
yeah,
vegetarian, not vegan.
Yeah.
So that goes through, and then the nachos and all the food's there, and it's fine. It's good food. I actually, weirdly enough, I thought, having not eaten at that point for 18, 19 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
No, that's
but, you know,
great. That's fucking great.
It's been going really well, actually. I thought I'd be hungrier. I think it very much depends who I'm with. And so, like, I finished my sandwich, and it's a big, sloppy club sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got half, you know, I've got half of these nachos with her. And I'm quite surprised. Like, I'm still seeing loads of them, and there's all the stuff in my head now about, like, We've ordered these nachos. They look really good. I kind of do want more, but actually I really don't want more. And now I feel a little bit guilty. Because she's not having any more.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up just leaving them, but it was like, why? I was kind of like, why am I not eating all of these nachos? I thought I would be eating all of these nachos, but I'm not eating all of these nachos.
Sounds like you're intuitively eating.
Meh.
What is that reaction?
Maybe not always. Maybe sometimes not always.
I just mean right then.
Yeah, right then. at that particular point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because like I didn't. Yeah, it was like. Yeah, I think there are definitely moments where I probably would have just kept eating, and it's like I'm not even hungry. Yeah. Like I'm not even really enjoying this. But I was enjoying. But I was full anyway. So we clear away. And my friend hasn't touched the vegan or the vegetarian sausages because she doesn't like them. She says they're
okay.
So, and she'd already told me like they're too sweet. See, that's the correct reaction, right? That's a normal, right? Good. The way you reacted, fine reaction. The woman who I'd had the interaction with earlier at the counter comes by and she's clearing away. Oh, you didn't touch the sausages. You didn't like the sausages. Hey, I'm like, okay. I mean, I probably would have said, was there a problem with the sausages or something? Like, it's fine.
Sure.
And she said, you know, they're a bit too sweet. And the woman goes, too sweet. And I'm like, I didn't say anything, but straight away, I'm like, you're doing this wrong. You're definitely doing that wrong. Yeah. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
Don't question someone's palate. Like,
yeah,
she said that she doesn't like them. They're too, and she actually said, "I've never eaten them." But like, what are you doing? But they're too. Because then my friend's got to justify herself. She doesn't have to justify why she doesn't like the fucking sausages.
The staff member said that she had never had them.
Yeah. The staff member said she'd never had them, but also questioned that they were too sweet.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like,
and you're not worried about this. A little thought that you've had, huh?
And it's just like, I don't know, man.
I know.
There's like charming kookiness and there's charming awkwardness, and then there's whatever that was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that. It wasn't it, guys. That wasn't
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's like there's fun to be had sometimes in the awkwardness of stuff, and like especially when everybody can kind of get on board and go, oh, that was a bit of it. But like, yeah, that one wasn't enjoyable from a you know, kooky kind of. Isn't this a kooky interaction? It was just like, and I don't know how different things would have broken if I weren't in the, you know, situation where, you know, if my brain hadn't already been carved half off earlier in the day and put in the fridge for later. I don't know if I would have reacted differently or it wouldn't have been awkward at all. I don't know, but like, yeah, we all had our parts to own in that exchange.
Yeah.
Very odd.
What did the fertility doctor say to the room of comedians?
What did the fertility doctor say to the room of comedians? I don't know. I know it's not like my job is not to guess the answer. My job is to hear the joke, but I kind of really would have because like. Because these jokes are so, you know, they are so what they are. They are basically word puzzles. And it's like, you know, what is it a pun on? But yeah, what did the facility doctor say to the group of comedians?
You're all a jest.
What?
Crickets. You're all a jest.
You're all a just.
Jest.
Jest. You're all a jest. You're all. I don't.
Jest as in like funny people, jesters. Yeah. Urologist as in a fertility.
Oh, doctor. No. No. No, sorry. Sorry about that, but.
Oh, no.
But no.
It works perfectly. You're all a jest. You're all a jest.
No, not this one. Yikes!
Yikes! I'm so happy and proud of you, man. That's just
thank
it's
you.
It's good to get that shit out.
Yeah. Do you want another piece of content?
Oh, I would love a little piece of content.
A little snack of content.
Mm-hmm.
I posted something to Substack yesterday.
Oh. Tell me about it.
And it's titled Why I'm Hiding from LinkedIn. And I will paste the link in our on main for you. A little bit of this is 9 years ago, I wrote a post on a blog my friends ran about how frustrating it is to run local events and get people to come back. I wrote it angry, and I waved away my editor's concerns about my own reputation because I wanted my frustration to be palpable.
Palpable.
I'm thinking about that post as I embark on my next project. Ooh. But before I do that, I should explain why I'm hoping LinkedIn doesn't see this while at the same time craving their eyeballs. The next heading is I start a lot of things.
So true.
It's really interesting. I think I'm fascinating, but hey, if you're interested, I'll give you the like behind the scenes director's commentary version of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is me announcing what I'm working on now. And partly why I'm working on this, but also why this is a little bit different, and also owning it in a different way and wanting to tell the story tell the story as it's developing. And not sort of carrying the embarrassment of, you know, sort of the last few years and things that haven't necessarily gone the way I wanted, or the way I thought they were supposed to go, or whatever. I am working on something that will help me with C90.
Nice.
And I'm 2 or 3 weeks into the code base. It's proving fun and interesting and something for which I will be customer number one, which is
love that
hasn't been the case since Podient, really.
Yeah.
Because everything else, you know, even Bramble, like Bramble wasn't even for me. Like I built it because I wanted to build it, but and that was the problem. Like I didn't really want to use it, which is why I stopped developing it. Because I'm like, I'm not actually enjoying using this. Because I built it for my clients. I didn't build it for me.
Sure.
And I'm building
is it
for
the
me.
Same with the I can't remember the name of it, but you had a. Like an audio capture sharing thing.
Yeah, that was, it's like sort of, it was for me, but it was one of those where like, I think that was just, can I solve this problem? Yes. Okay, done. Like it's a solvable problem. It's not that challenging. I'm not that, you know, too fussed about it.
Sure.
Sort of, you know, like... And it's one of those things where I probably should just actually open source the stuff. So if someone else wants to have a play with it, they can, because like I don't particularly want to have the burdensome hosting costs for it. Like that's actually how some of these projects end up dying, because it's like I wanted to build it, I built it.
Right.
It costs a little bit of money to keep something like that up, and it's like, well, if I'm not excited to work on it, or if I'm not excited for other people to try it, it's like I'm not going to spend $20 to $50 a month keeping it up. I felt like
there was sort of more I wanted to go into with this, but
what is it?
Oh yeah, sure. So it's so I'm reusing the name from the last thing that I started that wasn't actually that I wasn't going to be customer number one on.
Okay.
So I'm reusing the name Flurry because I like it, and it works well for this, and which is oddly enough. That's what happened with Podiant. It was the name of a WordPress theme before it was a hosting company with a robot fist. And it is essentially an event, a local community event management platform. So awesome. Ticketing. But also one of the things that I've actually realized genuinely as a something that doesn't... And actually, I one of my good friends... read my post yesterday and talking about the idea, he said, that's a good idea, that doesn't exist, we need it. So I was like, awesome. Okay, that's always a good sign.
Yes.
Because, you know, as I say, building it for myself.
Yeah.
Because the problem as it stands is that most things like, I'm sure you use the likes of Eventbrite.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. They're very well set up for one-off events and they do support recurring events. Mm-hmm. But it's actually not surpassingly easy, and it's actually like certain things are a goddamn nightmare. Like
yeah.
Fairly simple things, and so actually, in this post, I sort of listed some questions that I'm left with as someone who's trying to organise C90 every week, which is who's coming this week,
yeah.
How many people got tickets but didn't show up, yeah. Of those who do show up, how many am I in contact with? How do I get in touch with people who might want to come? At some point, mm-hmm. And how can I let interested people know what's happening this week? And I'm using mm-hmm. three different tools for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Eventbrite for the ticketing, mm-hmm. and MailerLite for the emailing, and my website is where the information lives, of like the songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's WhatsApp for communication. Mm-hmm. And I still don't have, it's not as easy as I would like it mm-hmm. to get a list of what are the names of the people and what are the email addresses or whatever of the people who are coming. Yeah. So that I know who to expect and then can get a sense of like, let's get them to check in. And mm-hmm. I've got an idea mm-hmm. of how we check them in a sort of elegant way. And mm-hmm. also how we can let people check in after the fact, so that they can get an email to say, hey, were you there yesterday? And they can check in then, so I can still actually gauge what is the percentage of people who get tickets but don't show up, because that mm-hmm. is useful to know when you have a limited capacity, but you want to make sure that enough people can come.
Yeah.
But the big thing that I've realized, and it's one of the big things that I'm going to sort of be hanging some stuff on is... and it was central to this beginning of this post, is it's hard enough to get people to come to a thing. It's then really hard to get them to come back
mm-hmm.
because you've got to figure out how to find those people again most of the time. And mm-hmm. like, if I think about the events that, you know, when I organize the public speaking stuff, the Ignite talks, which is what this post that I wrote in 2016 was about, my anger and I was hurt at mm. how hard it was and how unsupported I felt trying to organize something that I knew was good and benefit. I don't mean good as in quality, but like beneficial and you know, all that stuff, and how difficult it was and how much work I was putting in. And, you know, the fourth one got canceled. I canceled it and I wrote that screed that day because I wanted to communicate how angry and hurt I felt. What we need is not really ticketing. It's audience like development and communication.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you want community events, you know, I think, yes, okay, there's C90, but there's also a weekly comedy club that I haven't been to for ages. But do you know what? If I got an email Tuesday night to say, here's who's coming, here's who's on stage tomorrow night,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, reminder, it's free entry, mm-hmm. I might go, oh, actually, I'd like to see that person. Mm-hmm. And I might go.
Yeah.
You know, like, knowing that a thing exists and is in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Fine. But, like, when you get an email that's like, hey, this thing's happening, you're much more likely to go, oh, yeah, that thing that's been in the back of my mind, I've been meaning to go to it, or, you know, now I've seen something that's caught my eye, I'm actually going to go. And, you know, because there are some events that, and C90 is becoming for some, like, a bit of a staple, and that's amazing.
Amazing.
And that's so cool. Like, there are people who are just, they are here, and they are, you know, that's it. You know, and there are people who apologize for not being able to make it, you know.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
C90.
Yeah.
When you first started saying that name,
yes.
I thought that it was because, like, that was the title of the form you had to fill out.
Yeah,
that was the name.
I can see
why.
Yeah.
That was the name
of, like,
the...
My C90, yes.
Yeah. So yes. What does that mean? What's the story behind the name C90? What does that mean?
You, I'm sure, will remember cassette tapes from back in the day.
I have heard of them.
Yes.
No, I've used. I, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Might you have had a C60?
Oh, I don't. That kind of.
I don't
sounds
think they were
familiar.
Brand names.
I don't know what that's.
But often, on a lot of cassettes, you would see C, the letter C,
yeah.
And then 60, me-
like
I guess,
60
cassette.
Minutes.
60 minutes, yeah.
Cassette 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's basically what, that's it.
So
gotcha. C90. And also C meaning...
choir.
Chorus. Community. You know, I don't use the word choir. But yeah, basically that's it.
Cool.
That's
got
C90.
It.
But yes, I can see, nice. Like, yes, I've got to fill in my C90 to have a community organization established. So yeah,
do you want me to send over a blank version of the NAFT logo so you can put together a little C90 cover art?
I have a cassette already.
Oh, you do? Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, man. There's a few things that I'm sort of, you know, there's a few areas where, like, I can definitely make my life easier. And one of them that's, like, super neat is, like, when you get your ticket, there should be a button that asks you what accessibility needs you have.
Yes.
And then that information can be anonymized because it doesn't have to be tied to a person. But I can get an email as the event organizer when the box office closes to say, one of the things I'm a big fan of is checklists. So, like, here's a checklist to make sure you've packed all the stuff that you need for today.
Yeah.
And also, there's someone who needs a ramp. There's someone else who needs a reserved seat. So, you know, now I know, like, it doesn't matter who they are because that's not important. But knowing, okay, I've got to make sure I get the ramp out for the building, and then I've got to make sure that for another chair, I've printed my, or I've stuck my label on the chair to reserve it. Like, stuff like that. And, you know, for a way for those people, or, you know, other needs that people might have, to be able to flag those to me so that I can make sure that, you know, they are, that those needs are already anticipated and expected.
Amazing.
And people don't feel, we didn't really know. It's like, no, like...
You should have known.
But yeah, box office closes at a certain time. That's the time that the email comes out to me to say, get ready, you know, pack your stuff up, and here's what you need to do for this week. So stuff like that, you know, like, and...
Awesome.
I know enough about myself to know, like, when I'm going, like, I tend to have decent instincts about certain things like this, and those instincts are being borne out in the way that I run C90 as well. In that people are feeling, you know, like complete strangers are coming and singing with each other and having fun and all that stuff. So, like, there are some instincts that I'm following, or some reckons that I'm following, that are turning out to be correct, if you like.
Awesome.
And as you, I think, can attest with Podium, like, I hope it's not self-aggrandizing to say, when I follow what I think should be done in these
makes a good thing
things, it tends to, like, make good, like, with the good interfaces or good whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
oh yeah,
you know, and thinking about the whole connectedness of everything. Like I you know, I loved thinking about, and I actually did use, you know, when I was doing Leopard, Beware of the Leopard, like using the planning tool to go all the way from listing the topic for an episode, being able to select a bunch of topics in the interface and say, these are the ones that we're going to discuss this week, to build an episode structure out of each one of those topics, to then give my co-hosts a page that showed them the rundown of the show, mm-hmm. And to agree on the recording times, like all of those bits coming together. For me, like that kind of joined up thinking is how I, you know, like it's kind of how I think things should be done. And not from like a moral point of view, but just like it makes sense. Like, yeah, because that thing follows that thing and that thing can pull from that thing. Then you're not having to duplicate information. What's the point in storing stuff over here if you're only going to copy and paste it over here? What's the point in syncing two systems together if, you know, like, if I'm gathering email addresses for people who are either interested in coming or they're you know, coming to a specific event, like that all should go into the same bucket, and it should be easy for me to just go, here's an announcement of what's happening this week, hit the button. Like I haven't got to go over to separate software, hope that the email addresses have synced up, send the email out from a template and do all the stuff. It's just like, it should be a lot quicker and a lot easier. You know, having a library of all the resources for people to access and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm kind of owning my, like, I don't know, like, I was going to say, owning is not the right word. Like, I'm, as much as I think I was in a strange mood yesterday and have been for a couple of days, and, like, I woke up this morning feeling really, like, pretty down, just, like, downtrodden, pretty unhappy with the state of my world, feeling stuck, and hoping that this is a way out, but like it's only gonna be, because basically I think this is one of the things I wanted to mention earlier, and I sort of hinted on it in the piece, and maybe this will come across as defensive, I don't know, but where I feel like at the moment, so you and I have talked about on this show, I think, about trying to get into building websites for people.
Yeah.
Like, was going to be how Sounds Local, my CIC, that was going to be how it made money that it could then put into C90. By the way, C90 is now maybe a little bit more than breaking even.
Awesome.
Enough people are paying that we're making rent.
Amazing.
And I was able to buy paper and new toner, and I think that's probably all come out of C90 budgets, and that all goes back into C90. But you know, in order to pay for other things like infrastructure and phones and internets and offices, or my little co-working space, I need to deploy my skills somehow, and I have a sense that the thing that I was hoping I was going to be able to do, i.e. build websites for cultural organizations and venues and stuff like that, it is possibly not that long for this world. Because people are moving to platforms. So they're not getting, so this came through an email from someone who's an expert in this field. He literally like runs the newsletter in this space, and like I've known him for years, and like I trust his opinion. And he sent me a bunch of stuff, and it's like, yeah, this agency, they've all got their own systems now. They're not building from scratch because it costs, you know, like why would a venue fork out, could be 50 grand for a custom website if they can pay, I don't know, £100 a month or you know, even £300 a month, whatever, to sit on a platform where they're going to get support all the time. And all the stuff's integrated already. The ticketing platform's already built. It's all just there. And all they've got to do is maybe stump up for a designer who you know, maybe will charge them £5,000, or I'm making these numbers up, but of course, they can stump up for a designer who will just like drag and drop the elements and sure, it'll look distinctive enough, but basically like
you know, it's WordPress and Wix and Squarespace on steroids for these organizations.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get a look in there. Like, I'm not.
Right.
There's no shoe in for me with these. You know, I started looking into them, thinking, okay, great. Actually, you know what? This will be a really good pivot because I can learn these systems and then I can help organizations implement them.
Yeah,
great. You know, I'll learn three or four of these. I'll become an expert in them. Or not expert, but you know, I'll become really proficient in them, and then I'll be able to go to one of these things and say, "Hey, you know, you're looking to save money. Listen, you know, don't worry about having a whole new thing built. I'm proficient in this platform that you're looking at. I'll be your consultant developer, and let's get it going."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But no, that doesn't work because the agencies run them, and the agencies want that work.
Yeah.
So the agencies will do that. So like, there's no place necessarily for little old me in that arena that I was, you know, looking to work in.
Yeah.
But you know me, I'm a goddamn cockroach. I'm resilient as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, I'm now like, I think I haven't yet fully like put on the cape and cowl, but I'm pretty much like, I'm going hardcore, just like, I'm just going to make my own job. Because I think at this point, I don't know that there's huge other choices unless I want to go and work in a supermarket, because my skills are, like, they're in demand, but there's plenty of supply. There's probably too much supply at the moment for the demand. But meanwhile, there's a bunch of people that are out moving, doing stuff that I can hopefully service. And I then like the idea that, you know, maybe a platform like Flurry is the thing that, you know, fuels Sounds Local and allows me to spend more time doing, because like if I go back to 2019 and like a lot of this started last night, and I don't know why, but I went down this rabbit hole, this sort of wound licking, which is a little bit unkind to myself, but like I'm not a big one for regrets.
Same.
But I was going through the stuff with the sale of Podient and how I just gave it away. Kind of out of desperation at that point. And it's funny because like I was worried about the financial turmoil that I would be in. And it's like a year or so later, you would be in far more than you were then, but you couldn't have seen that. Like, and you know, I've weathered worse, it turns out.
Yeah.
But like in 2019, and even actually, if I'm pretty honest, like I had a pretty good pandemic. Because I had no excuse. I couldn't go anywhere. So all I did was sit and code Podient stuff. And, you know, what I should have done is more marketing and less coding, but that's fine. that's kind of the story of Podient, but there you go. But 2019 was like, that was an amazing year because I was able, I'd done so much work on infrastructure the year before. I'd spent like 6 months shoring up stuff and doing a big infrastructure change that actually throughout most of 2019, I was able to take my foot off the gas and go off and do different things, explore, you know, develop my improv skills, write a kid's book, try having a burgeoning relationship. Whatever else I did. you know, like try and branch out and do other things because I had the time to do that. And there's a lovely quote from The American Office. It's like the last episode, and it's one of the characters says something like, "I wish there was a way to know when you're in the good old days."
Yeah.
And you know that was the closest because I had such incredible freedom to go off and like not huge amounts of financial freedom, and I definitely had my struggles, but like time freedom, which is the thing that I prize more anyway. And that freedom to explore. And now I think, you know, man, the damage, as in good things that I could do given that amount of free time again, you know, the stuff that I could do, the resources I could help people with, the spaces I could help facilitate,
You know, it's lovely to think about those things, but you know, there's a lot of uncertainty and stuff ahead. But my hope is that I'm sure there'll be lots of things in my way. I just hope that I am not one of them.
And as always, expose that demon within, because it loses power in daylight and it's not as dangerous as you think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks.